Hello and welcome to a new edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. I'm Fernando Farias and I'm bringing you the lockdown edition of the English language program of Rai Argentina to the World, produced in my home studio of the neighborhood of Montserrat in central Buenos Aires as the pandemic continues and we remain working from home. You can listen to this program on WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kHz and also via our website, rai.com.ar. On today's program, we're going to be remembering a very important album in the history of not only Argentine rock, but Spanish language rock in general, in the whole of the Spanish-speaking world. The album Canción Animal, Animal Song, by Soda Stereo, released exactly 30 years ago, is very, very important, and we're going to be enjoying some of its songs. And also we've got a treat for the Xers, as we'll have an interview with Thomas Witherspoon of the SW Ling website. Speaking of treats for the Xers, if you send a reception report in the coming weeks, you'll be receiving a special anniversary QSL card, a centennial digital QSL card that we have just issued on the occasion of the first century of radio broadcasting in Argentina. On August 27, we'll be remembering exactly 100 years since the Locos de la Azotea, the rooftop madmen, made the first radio broadcast in this country and in the whole of the Spanish-speaking world, for that matter, when they put on the air a performance of Richard Wagner's Parsifal that was being offered at the Teatro Coliseo of Buenos Aires. They climbed to the rooftop of that building and they broadcast that performance for the very few people that had radio receivers back then in 1920, about 20 to 30 people in total. But despite that, this is a landmark in the history of broadcasting in this country that is being remembered throughout this month of August, a centenary of that important event. And here at Rai, we are marking that with various events and activities and special programs and content that we're going to be uploading to our social media website and also broadcasting via WRMI. And for the Xers, we've got this special QSL card that we have just issued. If you want to get it, send us your reception report to qslrai@gmail.com and you'll be receiving it. This is Rai, Argentina to the World in English. And here we go. Okay, and let us start listening to a little bit of music. We're gonna be remembering this very important album issued in 1990 by Soda Stereo. Soda Stereo is allegedly the most important Spanish language rock band of all times, not only in Argentina, but in the whole of the Spanish-speaking world. They never made it in the English language market. They attempted in the late 1980s to break through the American music market with some songs that they versioned, some of their songs that they versioned in English, but they didn't make it. It's just an anecdote that I'm sharing with the listeners of this English language program, but they reach the status of legends in the whole of South America and Latin America in general. They're super, super big all over the continent, particularly in Chile, Mexico, and Venezuela. Not to mention their home country of Argentina and their hometown of Buenos Aires. They emerged in the early 1980s, very influenced by bands like The Police, mainly. And in 1990, they released their most important album, their most successful album, and also a landmark in the history of rock recordings in the country, because they recorded this in the US, the Criteria Studios in Miami. And the sound of that album really, really surprised everybody back then, because it sounded different. It had a different treatment of guitars, of vocals. And of course, it included very good songs that became the most popular of Soda Stereo. Let us listen to a little bit of this album that turned 30 years this past week, issued in 1990. This is Canción Animal, Animal Song by Soda Stereo. And this is the song that bears the same name of the album. Listen to this sound. Soda Stereo were a trio, but they recorded and they performed also with additional musicians, particularly keyboard player Tweety Gonzalez, who is also a member of the lineup of this album. This is another song included in Canción Animal, issued in 1990, exactly 30 years ago, Hombre al Agua. Another huge song included in this album is a song that Gustavo Cerati, the late leader, guitar player and vocalist of Soda Stereo, wrote in honor of his father, who died of cancer. And this song is named after the tea they shared with Gustavo's mother when they got the diagnosis of his father. Te para tres. No basta. El eclipse no fue parcial y cegó nuestras miradas. Te vi que llorabas, te vi que llorabas por él. Te para tres. A very, very touching song that has become a part of Argentina's songbook, included also in this historic album that we are remembering today on RAE Argentina to the World in English. Canción Animal by Soda Stereo, released exactly 30 years ago. Despite including several very good songs that became classics, there is one particular song, the biggest hit, which is an anthem of Argentine rock, and it's the song that Soda Stereo used for, well, ending all of their concerts, and that's this song, De Música Ligera. Ella durmió al caer. Well, obviously, to those of us who enjoyed seeing Soda Stereo live, this song brings us good memories of them playing live, and good memories in general of going to a concert, something that seems very distant now amid this pandemic. Well, we just play a little bit of the most important tracks of Canción Animal, a very important album in the history of the Spanish language rock music by Soda Stereo, released exactly 30 years ago in 1990. This is Rai Argentina to the World in English, and today I'm going to be talking to an expert in radio listening, in DXing, in short waves, kind of a celebrity in the world of radio hams and DXers around the world. I'm talking today to Thomas Witherspoon of the SW Ling blog, who's in North Carolina, and I have him down the line for today's program. Hello, Thomas. Thank you for this.
Hey, Fernando. Thank you very much. I don't know if I can live up to your introduction, but I really appreciate being here today.
Well, let's see. I'm pretty confident. Well, Thomas, why don't you start telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and about the blog that you run?
Sure. Well, I'm a ham radio operator. I have been since 1997 under the call sign K4SWL here in the States. Also, am licensed in the UK. And before that, I was a shortwave radio listener. I've been listening to shortwave radio since I was 8 years old, when my great aunt gave me a Zenith Transoceanic portable radio. And this was in the, I guess at this time it'd be the very late 70s or early 80s. I started listening from my home, and you know, back in the Cold War days, the bands were just chock full of really, really big broadcasters. And I really enjoyed tuning in the world and have always carried it with me. I've always had a radio with me wherever I go. I've lived in other countries, in France and Germany and the UK, and I've always taken a shortwave radio along with me.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 2008, I decided to make a website about shortwave radio because I'd encountered a few people that really didn't know anything about it. You know, with the internet, there were a lot of people who really had not had a lot of exposure to shortwave radio. It just sounded to them like something they're, you know, the grandparents may have listened to in World War II or something. And so I started a website and eventually started a blog because, you know, I just wanted to kind of put radio news on there. And I mainly did it for myself. I really just had it as like a public place where I could store interesting articles and things that I thought about that came to mind. I never really publicized the blog or anything. And over time, though, people discovered it, and started coming to it and contributing, and I opened up the comments section and started doing radio reviews, and which I really enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. That, and it just grew and grew and grew, and today it's such a neat community of people. I always tell people that radio listening can be kind of solitary. You know, you're in your house or wherever, and mm-hmm. You're listening and in the dark corner of your house, you know,
on the outside only. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, the blog has become like a really nice community of people. They're really supportive and just share some really fascinating information. So yeah, that's where we are today.
Hey, how many viewers and in how many countries do you think you have for the SW Ling website?
So it's, you know, it's across the board, to be honest. So the bulk of my viewers are in North America, our readers are in North America. And then, you know, quickly followed by all of the English, primarily English-speaking countries. But we literally are in pretty much every single country. When I look at my Google Analytics, it's kind of amazing to me, you know, where people are reading, you know, the blog. We have lots and lots of people in Europe and South America, in Africa, and throughout Asia and Australasia. And it's just, it's very much a global community. And I'd say on most days we have around probably 5,000 visitors to the website daily, and that can spike well up into, you know, 15,000. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the funny things about it. You know, people talk about shortwave radio dying and ham radio dying and all, you know, just all aspects of radio dying out. But I don't see it from my end. You know, we have continued just kind of steady growth. And I also remember people telling me when I said I wanted to make a goal for myself back in, I think, 2012, that I wanted to put one post out a day, you know, a news item or something. And someone said, man, you'll never find enough news items to do that. You'll find that out really quickly. And since that day, we have always averaged at least one post a day. In fact, now it's hard for me to keep up with the amount of posts. Just this morning, I'm putting out two this morning, but it's hard to keep up with all the news and information.
I'm talking to Thomas Witherspoon, who runs the SW Ling website, the DXer in North Carolina, and I wanted to ask you, Thomas, if you noticed, like, there's been a resurgence of shortwave listening over the past 10 years with new technologies, with new equipment. I'm asking you this because the director of RAE, Argentina to the World, Adrian Corol, is also a radio enthusiast in a shortwave listener. And yes, he's been in contact with radio hams around the world and sharing on his social media, well, clips of people picking up signals in the middle of nowhere. And I was wondering if there's been like a rebirth of shortwave listening very recently, or is it just an impression of mine?
Yeah, I think there has been, actually. And it's interesting. It's interesting. You know, back in the day, during the Cold War, during the 1990s, maybe up until about the advent of where everyone had internet at home, you know, people used to reach out for shortwave, specifically just to, you know, hear other countries and hear news from other countries. The internet made that a little easier to stream online. These days, the technology's just made like massive leaps forward. Like what you can do with a software-defined radio now for under $200, you know, wasn't achievable, you know, for $2,000, you know, back in the, 1990s. So the technology's become incredibly accessible. So you get a lot of people who are interested in the technology side of it. Then they kind of get hooked listening to, you know, international broadcasters, number stations, pirate radio stations. And in fact, there's a fairly large community of people that got into it recently because of the kind of, it's almost like an underground thing now, you know, like there's like an underground kind of vibe to shortwave radio, which I find is kind of funny because
the interest, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If you look at any of the shortwave radio articles that make it in the major press around the world, it usually has to do with number stations and mystery and intrigue and that sort of thing. but it's kind of interesting because it hooks people. They get into it. They get into the technology. I even find that a lot of people end up kind of falling down the rabbit hole and, you know, getting ham radio licenses, or there are some people that probably even turn into pirate radio station broadcasters, you know, from finding out about it. I mean, it's interesting to see where it all goes, you know.
Thomas, when did you listen to a RAE transmission for the first time? Do you remember that?
Oh, goodness. You know, it would have had to have been back when I was a kid. I used to, because I used to just, I had a little map on the wall and I would pin down every broadcaster that I would find on my map. And then that was before I really knew about, shortwave listening communities and DXer communities and that sort of thing. I wasn't involved in any clubs. And I'm sure that I was listening to, Argentina back in, probably like in the mid 80s, at least something like that. And today, via WRMI, it's very accessible here in North America.
Speaking of broadcasts reaching you from South America and from the Southern Hemisphere, I know that you have been able to pick up the recent broadcast from LRA 36, Radio Nacional Arcángel San Gabriel, in Antarctica. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was a very exciting thing for me, actually. People who know me know that I am absolutely fascinated with Antarctica. In fact, just last night, I sat down with my family and we watched a documentary called A Year on Ice, which talked about McMurdo Station and people living and working there. So I'm fascinated with Antarctica, and especially I really love the Argentine station there. And so LRA 36, I have tried to snag that station for I can't even remember how long now. It's been years. And friends of mine in the shortwave community, whenever the station would be broadcasting in the past, in years past, they would contact me and say, "Hey, it's on right now, try to listen." And I've always been able to see the signal on my spectrum display, but rarely have I been able to actually interpret anything from it. And I usually, I don't send in listener reports for things when I can't really listen to it and hear it and interpret it. But just recently, just a few weeks ago, during one of the test broadcasts in upper sideband, I got actually decent reception, and I was able to make out the music and what people were talking about. So I sent in the recording and actually got a QSL card, and that was a really big day for me because it's rare for me to find, some rare DX that I haven't worked before. But I absolutely love the station. I try to listen for it every time my schedule allows. I try to do that anytime they're on the air.
It's amazing. We've been told that over there they receive reports, hundreds of reports. I mean, a number that they receive over a year. They received in just a matter of days after those Saturday broadcasts. I'm sure that you picked one of those.
I am not surprised at all. It is a very highly sought after station, and it's awfully fun to, imagine hearing a signal that far away, which is actually, it's not like they're pumping out, 250,000 watts. It's a much more modest station, and so it's kind of a challenge. It gives you a chance to challenge your technical skills with the receiver, and also it, do some weak signal DXing, which I love doing, and so it's great. Their signal makes it out really nicely. I really like the single sideband broadcasts.
What about other shortwave stations in South America? What are your favorites, or what can you recommend in terms of sound quality, also in terms of content?
So I am a big music guy. I love listening to shortwave radio music. And you're putting me on the spot here a little bit, but I listen to Radio Amazonia. Is that how you say it?
And, yeah, Amazonia, yeah.
One of my favorite stations I like listening to is Alcaravan, which is in Colombia. I listen to, I tell you what now, I'm having a hard time thinking of it when I'm talking to you, but I will tell you this, my antenna situation here really favors South America. And so South American stations are the ones that I really love, trying to listen to music-wise. There's a Brazilian one right now that I can't, the name's just not coming to me because it's too early in the morning and I haven't had
no
coffee.
Problem.
I probably listen to nearly a dozen stations in South America pretty regularly. And they actually have a really nice path here. And ham radio wise, when I'm on the air on the 20 meter band or the 17 meter band, any of those higher frequency bands, I can pick up lots and lots of stations out of Argentina and Brazil and Uruguay and Paraguay and all those areas, Chile. So, you know, it's a lot of fun for me. It's very easy for me to make it in there with my situation, where I am at my altitude and my antenna direction.
I'm talking to Thomas Witherspoon of the Shortwave Ling website, a radio DXing expert who's in North Carolina. And Thomas, where do you see shortwave in a generation? What's your forecast?
So, you know, the thing is, it's kind of a wide open. I've always said that, you know, the shortwave radio space is a dynamic one. You know, things change, things move around. People were telling me a decade ago that it would be totally dead in a year, you know, and it's not. You know, in fact, I see a lot of broadcasters, all of a sudden broadcasters from countries that maybe didn't have as big a presence on shortwave now have a chance to do so, where they have kind of less competition on the bands. You know, they're heard a whole lot more. A lot of private broadcasters have really come into their own the past few years. Lots and lots of just individuals that want to put their music out on shortwave or put up their own radio station. We have so many just individual enthusiasts that put out 1 hour broadcasts these days. And so in the future, I see more of that happening. I actually like to believe that there will be uses for shortwave radio simply because it's this international way of sending media that requires no wires. It doesn't stop at the border. No one's in control of it, you know, and there's a lot of anonymity, you know, with shortwave radio. If you're listening in a country where they don't want you to listen to things outside the country, you can do that with shortwave radio, and no one will ever know unless they happen to hear you listening to the radio. So I see it living on. It'll definitely change some of the really big broadcasters, you know, or removing some of the target areas where they feel like there's not enough of an audience. But I see private broadcasters being around for a much longer haul, and a lot of countries just continue to broadcast and keep audiences.
Thomas, I wanted to ask you finally for some contact details. If listeners want to get in touch with you or catch up with the latest news, or if there's a newsletter, social media.
Yes. One of the best ways to follow the blog is to go to swlingpost.com. That'll take you straight to the blog, or swlingpost.com/blog, B-L-O-G. And if you'd like to reach out to me via email, you can do so at Thomas, so T-H-O-M-A-S, at swlingpost.com. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Just noting, I get a lot of emails, so sometimes it takes me a while to get back, but I really enjoy doing that.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This has been fantastic.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Fernando.
That was Thomas Witherspoon, DXer, who runs the SW Ling website, who's in North Carolina, talking to Rai Argentina to the World. In this way, we come to the end of this week's edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English, the lockdown edition that I've been producing from my home studio since the beginning of the pandemic, of the quarantine, and all the social distancing measures were implemented here in the country back in March. I'm Fernando Farias. Hope you enjoy this program. And let me reiterate that we've got a special QSL card that we have just issued for reception reports sent during this month of August, and for the coming weeks, we'll be replying reception reports with our centenary QSL card to commemorate the 100 years of radio broadcasting in Argentina that we'll be marking specifically on August 27. On August 27, 1920, the first radio broadcast was made in the country. We're very happy to celebrate 100 years from that very important landmark, and we are celebrating it, among other ways, with this special QSL card this Centennial QSL card that we invite you to get by sending us your reception report to qslrye@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.